Hi listeners, we are still continuing on our messages, bringing up the body of Christ to its full maturity in Christ, so they can fulfill their purpose and God's will for their lives before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God wants to build up the body of Christ, and He wants to pour into them the revelation knowledge and the understanding to know who God is. We have to know the God we serve. We have to know Him as a person. We have to know His ways. And so we can follow Him. So God wants us to come into a place of knowing Him as the person of God. And how can we get to know Him in an intimate way? As born-again believers, we have the ability to come to know God in greater capacity, because we have that new born-again spirit, and that new born-again spirit has the ability to receive revelation from the Holy Spirit and grow in the knowledge of God. It's the Holy Spirit that gives that revelation into our hearts, into our spirit man, so we can understand God and grow in that relationship with Him. It's a relationship. God is spirit, so we have to know Him in that realm and to know Him as a person, so we can have this relationship as a father and His children. And He wants that so deeply for His children. He wants us to know Him as our Father and a very present help in trouble, and to trust Him and know Him and walk with Him. That's what God desires from us as born-again children. And we have the capacity, now that we are born again, we have the capacity to come into those realms of understanding. Now, if a person is not born again, they have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they don't have that capacity to know God in that realm, because they have to be born again. Your natural mind cannot comprehend things of God that deeply unless you are born again, because your born again spirit is what is born of God, and that is reconnected to God, so that your spirit man can receive things from the Holy Spirit, because He lives inside of you. That's one of the reasons that He's there, so that He can reveal Himself to His people. And so we can come into that deep relationship with God. God wants us to come into this relationship while we are down here. And when we get to heaven, it's going to be a continuation of that relationship. But He wants us to start that relationship here. It's not just accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior and waiting to get to heaven. No, He wants to grow in that relationship while we are here. And then when we get to heaven, we will have a greater understanding and greater knowledge of God, and we will continue to grow in that relationship with the Father. But right now, He wants us to come into these realms of understanding God and knowing God, so we can follow Him and we can have that close relationship as Father and children. See, this is what God wants us for the body of Christ. Before we go into the scriptures, I want to read a prophecy that God has given to the body of Christ. Listen carefully what the Spirit is saying to the church. There are many things I want to reveal to my church, but my people are not ready to receive them, because they have not prepared their hearts to receive the revelation to the truth. Therefore, I ask my people to repent and allow me to cleanse their hearts of all hatred, bitterness, anger, jealousy, malice, along with all other attitudes of the heart. These attitudes block my spirit from accomplishing my works in you. Therefore I say, search your hearts and repent of all wrong attitudes that keep you from growing up in the spirit. Mature believers are always aware of wrong attitudes and motives that rise within their hearts, and they are truthful to renounce them and repent, so my blood can cleanse them from all unrighteousness. My people need to be transparent and walk in the integrity of God and in the righteous ways of God, so they can be the light to this world of darkness. There is no time to waste, for the time is short. Do not continue to procrastinate. Those that call me Lord must turn from all darkness and unrighteousness to follow me. So take heed to what my spirit is saying, and pay attention to the condition of your hearts, and turn from your wicked ways, so I can use you in my end time army to reach the lost. Otherwise, you too will be swept away with the ungodly when I send my judgment on the earth. But those who take heed to my spirit will walk on the high places of the earth to set captives free and usher in the greatest harvest of souls in these end times. These warriors will be filled with my peace, my joy, and my love and rest as they go about carrying out my will on earth. To them I will give the hidden riches in secret places as a reward for their obedience to my will and purpose. Amen. As the Lord has spoken, we had to pay attention to what He is saying. God wants to reveal Himself in a deeper way to His people so they can come into a deeper revelation of God and have a deep understanding of God so they can have a true deep relationship with Him. In order for you to do that, you have to get rid of certain things in your heart, because it's the heart of man that is truly connected to God. And if your heart is going to be full of hatred, as this prophecy says, and then unforgiveness and jealousy, the attitudes of that fallen nature, if our hearts are not cleansed with the blood of Jesus on a regular basis, and you see those things hidden in your heart, they keep surfacing in your life time to time, and you never repent of that, it is a hindrance for you to have true revelation of God, because it blocks the spirit from being able to reveal God to you, because it clogs up your connection with God. That's what these sins, these attitudes does in our hearts. And it's important that for us to be very truthful with ourselves and to be transparent. God wants us to be transparent. In order for us to be transparent, we have to be truthful with ourselves. And when we see things that are not right in our lives, when we do things that are not right in our lives, when we think of things that are not right, when we say things that are not right, when we see attitudes in our hearts that are not right, we have to repent. We have to renounce. We have to ask for forgiveness and let the blood of Jesus Christ wash our hearts and our minds through His blood, so we can be cleansed from those sins and those attitudes, so that our hearts are so open and pure before God, and He can pour into us all of that revelation and understanding for us to know Him. Because God is light. We have to realize this. God is light. And there is no darkness, there is no unrighteousness in God. Therefore, if God is going to communicate with us, we have to have our hearts pure so we can receive what He wants to show us. If we have all these wrong attitudes in our hearts and we never pay attention to those things and never get rid of those things, it's going to be a roadblock for us to come into these realms of understanding God. And I think this is a problem in the body of Christ, because they don't pay attention to the conditions of their hearts and they think that, oh, I'm saved, and that's all to it. No, it's not all to it. Getting saved is just the very beginning, first step of your relationship with God. It's not all of the relationship, it's just the first step. You have to be born again, you have to be saved to have a relationship with God. So when you get saved, that's the first step. And then it opens up for you to get to know God. It's opened up into many realms of knowing God and growing in Christ and coming into this deep relationship with God. That's the reason God wants us to keep our hearts pure. And whenever you see things that are not right, and you know what is not right, if you read the word, you know things that are wrong in your heart, repent. Just renounce and repent and ask for forgiveness. That's all you have to do, because the blood of Jesus Christ will always cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So you can be a transparent person and you can be able to walk in the light. In this message, I want to talk about the truth. It is the truth that brings us into this place. When we talk about truth, what is truth? To many people, they may think truth is as a concept, form of beliefs. Truth is not a concept or a group of beliefs. Truth is a person, God, Jesus Christ. And God revealed the truth through Jesus Christ, Son of God. If you want to know God, you have to know the truth. And truth is a person, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He is the truth. And He came to this earth to reveal the truth in person. When we look at Jesus, you are seeing the truth before your eyes. As you read the scriptures, we come to know what truth is like, the person of Jesus Christ. He brought the truth to this world so people can come to know the truth. Because he's the truth, he lived it out. It's not a bunch of concepts. No, it's a person. And this person is Jesus Christ, and he lived out the truth because that's who he is. And he is telling us to look into the Word, to find out what this truth is like, and then walk in that truth. Not just a concept, but a person and his life. And when we get to know the person and his life, and then we come into this place of understanding what truth is like. As a result, we begin to come into that understanding who God is like. So begin to walk in that path of that truth and come into deeper revelation of God, who is the truth. So let's go and start with the first scripture I want to take is the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So what is he talking about? The truth. The Word that we call truth. When we read the Word, we know we are reading the truth. In the beginning was the Word, which is the truth, and the Word was with God, Jesus. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Without the Word, without the truth, nothing that was made was made. So when the Bible, which is the truth, says in the beginning, in Genesis 1, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Truth, which is God, is saying, in the beginning I created all these things. I created all these things. I created the heavens and the earth. Everything that you see, I have created all these things. I created man and woman on this earth. So when we begin to understand this, truth as a person, and not as a concept, when you read the Word, Holy Spirit is giving a picture of the person of God. Let's go back to Gospel of John, verse 4. In him was life, and the life was light of men. Verse 5. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehend it not. Going down to verse 11, says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. To those that believe in him, who is the truth, the person of Jesus Christ, he gave them power to become the sons of God. See, that's the reason he came, to give us the power to become the sons of God. That means children of God. It's both genders included. God coming down to reveal God. And therefore we can come into this relationship with God. This is the whole plan of God. It's to bring us into relationship. That's what he did in the Garden of Eden. He created Adam and Eve to fellowship with him, to have a family. But it got all messed up because of sin. But now comes Jesus to restore all that. And now he's saying, I'm going to give you power to become sons of God. So once again, you can come into that place of having that deep relationship with me. Before Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible says God came in the cool of the day. He communed with him. They have fellowship. They knew God's voice. God spoke to them and they spoke to God. But all that was lost when they sinned. So here comes Jesus to restore all that back again to mankind. And he says, he gave them power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. He gave them power to become the sons of God. Verse 13, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So as he came, we beheld the glory of the Father. Father sent his Son, to show the world who he's like, full of grace and truth, person of God. When you look at Jesus and you look at his life that he lived on the earth, you are seeing God, the Father, because Jesus is in the Father and the Father is in him. That's what he said. This is the Father's desire, to bring the body of Christ into such knowledge of him so they can be truly the children of God. And they can truly say, I know God. There's a scripture in the Old Testament. God said, let not the rich man boast about his wealth. Let not the strong man boast about his strength. Let not the wise man boast about his wisdom. But let those that boast, let them boast that they know me and understands me. This is what God wants the people to know. Anybody that is going to boast, let him boast. That means you can boast about that. In this, God is saying, if a man says, I know God, that kind of boasting, this is what God wants the people to come into that place. For a born-again person to say, I know God. I know him as my Father. I know him as my Savior. I know him as my healer. I know him as my best friend. I know him as my protector, my defender, my provider. I know him. That's what God wants us to come into. It's not about kind of mental understanding. No, no, no. He wants to have a true, deep revelation of God so that you know him. So much so you can just sit and have a conversation with God, open, transparent conversation with God, as you would have with your best friend, because he is your best friend. That's what he wants to bring us into. He so yearns to bring his people to that place of relationship. So let's move on, and let's go on to the next scripture I want to take is John 14:6. He is Jesus. Now he's saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. That's an amazing statement. Let's go back and read this again. I am the way. Jesus is the only way to God. Our own good works will not bring us to God. Jesus is the only way. He's the only one who paid the price for our sins. No one else. He's the only sinless Son of God that went to the cross, paid the price with his own broken body and his shed blood, and he paid for our sins fully, so we can be fully forgiven. He's the only way to God. No one can pave that path to God except the Lord Jesus Christ. No other religion can promise that. It's only Jesus who is the truth. As I said, the truth is a person, Jesus. Whatever he says is the truth, is the fact, is the reality. This is the reality. The true reality of our salvation is Jesus Christ. No one else and nothing else. So he's saying, I'm the way to God. I am the truth. Whatever I speak, it's who I am. And it's the reality. You cannot add to it. You cannot take anything away from it. You have to keep it just the way he says it, because that's the truth. If you add to it, then you are perverting that truth. And then he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, eternal life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Very clear. Nobody can come to the Father but by Jesus Christ. Then he goes on to say, if you had known me, you should have known my Father. What he's saying is, if you know me, then you will also know my Father. And from henceforth, you will know him and have seen him. Because now you have seen me, because you have been with me, he's saying to his disciple, from now on, you will know him and you have seen him. Why? Because Jesus is the very representation of God on this earth. God sent his own begotten Son to reveal himself to this fallen world, so this world can know him and see him through his Son, Jesus Christ, who is the truth. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1, starting from verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes. See, you're talking about the truth, you're talking about a person. Which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, the word of life, Jesus Christ. This word of life, Jesus Christ, whom we have seen, whom we have looked upon, not a concept, a person. In the beginning was the word was with God, and word was God. He's the word of life. See how this is progressing? The scriptures are progressively giving us the revelation to who God is. Constantly he's bringing us person of Jesus Christ, the word of life. And he has shown it to us so we can receive that life and live eternally with him. Verse 2, for the life was manifested, which is eternal life, was manifested on this earth, because before Jesus came, nobody knew what that was like. Nobody had any promise of eternal life. So verse 2 it says, for the life was manifested through Jesus Christ, and we have seen it, and we bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Father has sent that eternal life to us. And now whoever believes in him receives that eternal life. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. This is so beautiful. It says, that which we have seen, these disciples saw and lived with Jesus. They were with him 3 years and they fellowshipped with him. They have broken bread and eaten. They have been fellowshipping and learning from him and walked with him. And he says, which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. These men can truly say our fellowship with the Father and the Son. Why? Because they had a relationship with Jesus and they began to see who God is like through Jesus. During that time with Jesus, they came to know God. They came to their revelation how God is like by seeing his Son and being with his Son and fellowshipping with his Son. So we, as we read these scriptures, can come to know God through Jesus, the truth, as we read and we put our faith in what the truth is saying now. Verse 4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard from him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is light, and there is no darkness at all. So let's think of this for a moment. If God is light, and there is no darkness at all, do you think that if you and I have darkness in our hearts, can come into a deeper relationship with God? There's no way, because that darkness is going to keep us from coming into that place of relationship with, because he is light and there's no darkness. And if we have darkness in our hearts, that's going to be a hindrance. So that's the reason the prophecy that I read is saying to get rid of all that darkness from your heart so that we can come into that light and have fellowship with him. And no one with darkness can come to that light and have fellowship unless they repent and get that darkness out through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. See, if we say, yes, I have a relationship with God, I have a fellowship with God, but we are walking in the darkness, how can it that be? You cannot have darkness and come to the presence of the light. If a person knows they have sin in their lives, things that they know that they need to repent, they completely ignore that and say, yes, I have a fellowship with God. I know God. I have a relationship with God. And the scripture says you are lying. This is the truth speaking. He says you are lying. That person do not have the truth. See, you cannot con God. You cannot con this truth. Truth is not a concept. It's a person. This person stands before you and says, because I know what is in your heart. And he convicts you and tells you that you need to repent. You cannot change these facts because that's the truth. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If you walk in the light and you become transparent person, the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you. But if we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. This is the problem with the body of Christ. When we have a lot of darkness in our hearts, let's say we have envy against each other in the body of Christ, we have hatred, we have malice against each other, then we are not walking the light and we have no fellowship in the body of Christ. That this is what is happening to the body of Christ, because a lot of people do not pay attention to what's the condition in their hearts, and they do not repent and get rid of those things. They have offenses in their hearts towards their brothers and sisters. They have unforgiveness in their hearts towards their brothers and sisters. And all this is clogging up their true relationship with God and relationship with one with another. Therefore, they have a superficial relationship with God, and as a result, they have a superficial relationship with one another. Can you imagine what God thinks about this? That's the reason he's speaking to this subject. He so desires for us to walk in the light so we can have a transparent relationship with the Father and we can have a transparent relationship with one another in the body of Christ. When we walk in the light, there's constant cleansing in us with the blood of Jesus. And his blood keeps us free from the darkness. It's not just one time. It's a constant thing that happens as we walk in the light and we are truthful to our shortcomings and we repent. There's a constant cleansing. That cleansing keeps a vital union with God and with one another in the body of Christ. This is so important in these end times for the body of Christ, because he wants to bring the body of Christ together to do the things that he wants to do through us. He cannot work through a divided body that are against each other. But once we come to this place of walking in the light and keeps our heart free, we can have a true relationship with God the Father and with one another, so he can accomplish his works and his will through our lives. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If anybody says, no, I have no hatred towards that person, and they know they have hatred, well, if you are like that and you are hiding hatred in your heart and you say, no, I'm fine. If you say that, the Bible says we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If you want to stand before God and hear, you did not have the truth because you deny these things in your life, saying that you had no sin. For many people, when they think about sin, they think of lying and stealing and murder and adultery, all those things. And you may be a person that you may not do any of those things. But your heart is full of these other attitudes. Jesus said, if you hate somebody, it's as though you have already murdered that person. You may not actually go and kill a person, but if you hate a person, he looks at it as murder. He says, if you look on a woman, lust after her, he said, it is as though you have already committed adultery. So you may not actually commit these sins, but it's in your heart. You can be doing a lot of things, having a lot of attitudes that you have not repented, and you ignore it and think it's okay. And the scripture says, you are lying, you are deceived. Not only you are lying, you are deceived, and the truth is not in you. Verse 9, if we confess our sins without trying to hide, just simply confess our sins. Whatever you see in your heart, if you just confess, that's all he's asking. Confess, don't hide, don't make excuses. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My friends, he's going to do all that if you just confess your sins. I mean, how easy is that? Is that hard for a person to confess their sins? The only thing that will keep them from confessing their sins is pride. Now, pride will keep you from confessing because pride will say, no, it's okay, you know, I'm not that bad. That's what people think. I am not that bad. Just a little bit of unforgiveness, so what? I hold grudges, so what? I'm jealous of that person, so what? It's not a big deal. What that person is doing is deceiving themselves and lying to themselves. But if you are truthful and you confess, then he's going to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Verse 10, If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. He's the truth. If the truth says you have this sin that you need to repent, and you say, no, that's not true, I'm fine. Yes, I did lie, but I really didn't mean it. It was a joke. Going back, verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us. His word, his truth is not in us. When we say that, we make him a liar. Think about it for a moment. When you say, no, I have no sin, what I did was no big deal. Yes, I said that, but it was a joke. It was not a joke when you said it. When you said it, you really meant it. Now that you are faced with it, you will say, oh, it was a joke. No, it was not a joke. And you know it, and God knows it. And so when God says to you, you need to repent. What you did was wrong. And you say, no, I didn't really mean it. It was a joke. You think God is going to buy that? No. At that moment, you are making him a liar because he's the truth. He knows exactly what your intentions were. And that person, the truth is not in that person. Because truth, which is Jesus Christ, will always stand with what is true and just and right. If you excuse your sin, or if you excuse other people's sins, and when you see the other people doing wrong things, and you excuse and say, well, they're doing it for this reason or that reason. No, wrong is wrong. But a born-again person, when you follow the truth who is Jesus Christ, you have to stand with the truth. You have to stand with what is right at all times. This is something that the preachers need to teach their people in the body of Christ. When you look around in the body of Christ, they are not taught this. As a result, they are living in sin. They are living in this attitudes of the heart that keeps them from coming into this deep revelation and relationship with God. And God wants this to be preached in the body of Christ. First, the preachers and teachers need to repent of their own sins in their own lives and be truthful and transparent about it. And then they need to preach this to the body of Christ, so God can fulfill his purpose and his plans in these end times through the body of Christ. Amen.